Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Well, this is a little awkward. This is not Everbank Field.
No.
Tony, we didn't create a series of opens for our home away from home, which is our home. But just for us, it seems like our home away from home. Back here at 9090 Hogan Road for the day at 1010XL World Headquarters. Loggy, you're in here more than I am these days with the outdoor show, aren't you?
I know. It's kind of crazy. I'm sitting here looking from Captain Kirk's seat right here.
That's the thing, man.
And you're in Kevin Favor's seat. And,
yes.
And Tony, you're over there in my seat.
I'm sorry, man. I'm used to sitting over there for Monday and Tuesday nights where Mike is. And then on Fridays with Hacker, I'm usually right here. So
Tony's the most accommodating guy, though. When we're at Everbank, every co-host has a different place that they like to sit.
Yeah.
You know, you like to sit directly across from me, which makes a lot of sense.
No, you sit directly across from me.
Or whatever. Right. I sit in the same place every day. Tony's got everyone's pattern figured out.
Yeah, I do.
He sets up accordingly, is the point.
I do.
So there you have it. TCJ Fund Radiothon going on today. The Tom Coughlin J Fund will speak with a number of folks connected with that, including coming up in about 20 minutes, Kelly Coughlin, Tom's daughter, Kelly Coughlin Joyce, the J Fund Executive Director. And we encourage you all day to head to tcjfund.org and make a $96 donation to be there for those families affected by a diagnosis of childhood cancer here on the First Coast. In fact, 96 families got that life-altering diagnosis, and you know, hopefully it's just life-altering and not life-ending. A lot of these kids are fighters. It's amazing what the medical community is able to do for these families nowadays, and the TCJ Fund, Tom Coughlin J Fund, has been there to support those families now going on about two decades and doing tremendous, tremendous work. So if you can donate $96, if you can donate 96 cents or $9,600, we'd be happy to have anything you can send the J Fund's way. Again, tcjfund.org. Or if you want to call, you can call 904-207-7070, 904-207-7070. And call in. It'll take you about 2 minutes on the phone. They'll get all your information. It's a one-time fee. You're not going to get a continuous series of bills or anything like that. It's a one-time donation, and we encourage you to dig deep if you possibly can. Jeff, so with that, all that going on, we'll have a limited time to talk football today, but obviously we want to get into
things.
It. Absolutely. You know, one day out of the year, several days out of the year, but particularly this one day out of the year, we like to highlight the great ongoing work that the Coughlin family, and it's not just Tom, it is the Coughlin family.
No, it's Brian, it's Kelly, it's Judy, it's all of them, and they do a tremendous job.
They really do. And you wish for there not to be a need for an organization like this. Unfortunately, that's not the reality of the world. So,
you know, and the cool thing is that when Tom Coughlin rides off into the sunset, you know, one day as a coach in the National Football League, which, you know, I'm sure that they're going to have to kick him out. I mean, because the guy's an absolute diehard coach. But when that happens, he's coming back here.
Yeah.
And he's rooted into this community. He feels attached to this community, and his wife is going to tell him he's coming back to this community.
And that's really, you could have skipped all that other part and got right to the crux of the matter. But
yeah, I mean, they love it here. I mean, they love it here, and the people of Jacksonville love him because he's given so much to the community here in Jacksonville, the whole family.
Absolutely. And we'll continue to support them as long as we're able to, and that's as long as we're around. Basically, as 1010XL 92.5 FM and us here personally at the station as well. All right, let's get into the game a little bit while we've got you here. What did you want coming out of this game? What did you want to go look at? You know, because I imagine you watch a game and you think you see something, but you want to go back and confirm it on the film. What were the first things you wanted to take a look at this week?
I mean, offense. I mean, it's all about offense. I mean, because that's the young side of the ball. When you get to this point, And my expectation was when you get to the bye, it's a time to get refreshed, rejuvenated, take a mental break and come back and ready to go to work, especially young players. Because I've been there, and trust me, when you get close to Thanksgiving, you're ready to shut it down because that's typical. You know, when you get to Thanksgiving, you're either preparing for, of course, they didn't have this when I was playing, but a conference championship game, wrapping up the season, and then also maybe starting to think ahead, which kind of a bowl are we going to be able to play in? And so you're kind of mentally worn down, but even more so at the NFL level because not only are you at the end of the season, the college season, but you played four preseason games, which you don't do in college.
Right.
You know, so it's even that much more. So I wanted to start to see progress mainly in the quarterback, offensive line, and the young wide receiver, and especially Marquise Lee because this was really going to be his first extended action that we watched. I thought Marquise Lee played pretty well. I thought he was explosive. I thought that he appeared to be where he was supposed to be. He played with speed in his routes, and so he excited me. He only had three catches in the ball game for about 52 yards, but he still excited me. The play of the offensive line has got to get better. And it's not a matter of guys getting individually beat. It's more of a working together in unison thing. Because, you know, I always go back and you look at teams that maybe are, I don't want to say similar talent, but maybe on par. And the New England Patriots, I think, are a perfect example. They don't have great talent on that offensive line. You know, the left tackle is a good player, Nate Solder. The right tackle, just kind of okay. And then the interior line is a bunch of journeymen. You know, you just released maybe a potential Hall of Fame guard, but you got a bunch of guys that work hard and play well together. And right now they're not working hard enough to play together up front. You're starting to see little breakdowns and little chips in the armor and little cracks in the protection. And that's affecting the young quarterback in a big way.
What is the thing that leads to that, though? Is it the youth and experience, the fact that these guys are just all in their first season as a unit? And at what point should that start to show improvement?
Well, here's the thing that you don't know, and I've said this before. You know, some people may call me an expert, but I'm going to be the first one to tell you, at certain times, you can watch the film, the All-22, and sit there, and you're not sure why something didn't work or why something broke down. Because there's a lot involved. It's what is the first of all, what is the protection? And then once you get to the line of scrimmage, you have to identify the mic, which the mic, you always hear, you know, 52 is the mic, 53 is the mic. Well, what that does is that sets the protection for everybody. It gives every individual on the offense a responsibility of who they're supposed to block or what area they're supposed to block. Is the mic being properly identified? I don't know. There were, I think, three instances where you had a free runner in on the quarterback. You had Landry, and there might have been more, but three of them come to mind. You had Landry twice from back-to-back plays.
Right.
And then you had Jarrell Freeman on another play in which Clay Harbor was going to be open, which I believe I showed that last night on Jaguars All Access, where Clay Harbor on a levels route was going to be wide open for about a 20-yard gain, but Blake Bortles had no time. You had Marquise Lee on a sluggo route on the right side for a vertical route, but he had no time because Dewan Landry was in his face immediately. Now, who do you point out as you know, making the error up front? Well, could it be Blake Bortles identifying the mic? Could it be that there is no responsibility or assignment for a guy to block the safety and it's got to be on the quarterback and there has to be a side adjust or a hot read? You know, you don't know all that stuff. Unless you know the offense in intricate detail, you can't say that it's this guy's fault. You know, but I just do know one thing. It's not good enough yet.
It's got to be better. The overall protection, sure.
It's got to be better.
Now, we got a lot of calls, both on the post game and yesterday. Tony and I took these calls, I'm sure Tony took them last night with Paul Spicer as well, where people were talking about why isn't the offense trying to take shots down the field.
Well, It's a great question. And I think the first thing that you have to say is, are they not taking shots down the field? When you watch the film, they are trying to take shots down the field. Are they trying to take enough percentage of shots down the field as maybe I would like? Probably not, especially in that game, because you got a lot of single high safety and you had a backup to a backup cornerback on the field at that time because you had Toler was out with the injury and then his backup who started at corner got hurt in the ball game and all of a sudden you had Purifoy, I think it was, in there at some point. He's an undrafted rookie from Florida. And if I'm a coach, I'm going, take a shot, test him out, see if he's there. And you didn't see enough of that. But here's the thing. Do you have confidence as a play caller to call vertical routes that require protection to hold up? You know, so I think it's a combination of things as to why it gives the appearance that they're not pushing the ball down the field enough because it is a protection issue. It's a play calling issue because maybe he doesn't have the confidence in the guys up front. And then also in that ball game, you remember they didn't run the ball very effectively at all.
No.
And so when you don't run the ball effectively, one of your great play calls as an offensive coordinator is play action to attack the vertical aspect of the passing game. And they didn't have that. So probably a combination of things.
What was the protection not there across the board, or was it only when they sent extra guys?
Yeah, it was mostly, you know, because Indianapolis runs a 3-4, you know, and the difficulty sometimes in a 3-4 is which four are coming.
Right.
And so it makes it a little bit challenging, but they faced enough 3-4 defenses this year where you think the day would be a little bit cleaner. and they haven't been. But, you know, and you can't sit there and go, okay, it's this one guy. It's almost like, you know, it's typical of a young group in that it's inconsistency across the board. Okay, one play is Luke Joeckel. The next play, it's Brandon Linder. The next play, it's Luke Bawanko. One play, it's Mercedes Lewis, who's been inactive, you know, for 8 games or nine games, whatever it was. You know, there was one instance that I'll show on Film Room Friday, Jaguars.com, where you got on the left side, you've got Will Toffolo, Mercedes Lewis, and Luke Joeckel. Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but it was when Ricky Jean-Francois hit Blake Bortles as soon as the ball was coming out, and it was a pass to, I think, Alan Hearns, and he couldn't quite hold on to it
right,
because the ball was a little bit off. Well, on that left side, Luke Jokel's protecting the B gap, but he's got his left hand out to the C gap, and he's expecting Mercedes to have his inside arm to the C gap and his outside arm to the outside. Well, Mercedes takes the step, and then all of a sudden, the outside linebacker, Eric Walden, comes. He goes completely to him, unaware that maybe Will Toffolo was going to be there to pick up Eric Walden. And so Luke Joeckel ends up letting, kind of turning loose Ricky Jean-Francois because he was expecting Mercedes to be there.
To have him.
So in that instance, it's not an issue of being physically beat or not good enough. It's a matter of having the awareness of a responsibility or working together, and you got a guy that's just back in the lineup. And to me, that play was on Mercedes.
Limited time with you today, so I want to get in as much as we possibly can. Just as an overview, where things stand right now, 8 starts for Blake Bortles, 8.5 games into his career. Is he, right now, is he in a slump? Is he regressing a little bit? How would you characterize where he is in his development a half season into his career, basically?
I think he's thinking a lot. Yeah, I really do. I think he's thinking a lot. You know, and when you play that position, which is the hardest position to play in all of sports, I think you have a little bit of a cycle, you know, and that when you first start, okay, you're just kind of, you're going to wing it. Okay. Just play loose and go out there and play. And then all of a sudden you start to say, okay, well, if I'm going to take the next step, I've got to start to learn what the coverages are, what the reads are and everything else. And then your mind starts going too fast, and then the game is going too fast. And you've got to reach a point to where things start to become second nature at the quarterback position. It's much like, you know, Gus Bradley was talking all season about Marquise Lee and how, you know, you need the game to slow down. Well, what he means by that is that the mental aspect of the game comes easily, and then therefore the physical aspect becomes fast. And I think what you're seeing with Blake Bortles is that the mental part of the game, he's struggling a little bit with right now. And so maybe he's a little late with the throw. Maybe he's not thinking about just be an athlete and evade the rush and extend the play anymore. And I think he's regressed a little bit, but that's part of the process playing quarterback. When you get so much thrown upon you, that's at such an early stage, but you got to let him fight through it, and he'll be a better player in the long run to fight through it now.
All right, he's Jeff Logman. You're here with us in studio, in class with Jeff Logman in the 1010XL home studios here at Hogan Road, 9090 Hogan Road. The Tom Coughlin J-Fund going on all day. The Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon, 207-7070, the number to call today. If you want to get in with Logs, we'll have a limited time to take some of your phone calls coming up this hour at 641-1010. But the more important phone call today, 207-7070, make a one-time donation of $96 or whatever you can do. $96 is being in honor of the 96 families, if that's the proper term to use, in honor of the 96 families and recognition of the 96 families that have been impacted with diagnosis of childhood cancer here in the greater Jacksonville area in the last 12 months. 207-7070. We'll have Jeff Logman here with us for the remainder of this hour and throughout the 2 hours today on Jaguars Today. We'll talk with a number of folks associated with the J-Fund, including Kelly Coughlin Joyce, the J-Fund Executive Director, coming up momentarily. If you want to get in with Logs, we'll squeeze them in where we can. You can also tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Logs56, LOGS56, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I need the name of the song, please, Lauren Brooks. I have no idea what the name of the song is. What do you got?
I wonder if Jeff knows.
Jeff, do you know the name of this one?
I'm musically handicapped.
George Strait, Give It Away.
Give It Away. Give being the key word today. We encourage you to give to the Tom Coughlin J Fund. The phone number, 904-207-7070. That's 7070. 904-207-7070. And give a one-time gift of $96 to be there for those families that are impacted by the life-changing diagnosis of having a childhood cancer in the family. 40,000 children undergoing treatment for cancer right now. How about that? That's amazing. 96 families right here on the First Coast. And all these dollars that are going to the J Fund are ending up right here on the First Coast, helping families, helping folks you may know, neighbors. Knock on wood that it's never you that's in need of this, but if you are, the J Fund will be there for you as well. We've got Kelly Coughlin Joyce, the J Fund Executive Director, in studio here with us on the Garber Auto Mall hot seat. How's the seat feel over there? Is it hot for you?
It feels awesome.
It does.
I'm a little stressed.
How are you? How are things?
I'm great. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
We always love talking to you, and you guys do a terrific job. You're saying your dad, not in the best mood football-wise right now.
No. You know, times are not real great at the moment on the field for the Giants, but they're hoping, they're still playing hard and hoping to finish strong.
We'd like to extend that feeling.
I can't wait to see him on Sunday. I got to have a conversation with him about his sideline language.
I know. He got caught on national TV Sunday. Wasn't pretty.
I'm sure it was the first time he ever said anything like that. And the cameras just happened again, right? Not the case, huh?
My dad has such a different personality, obviously, off the field than on. And I have a strong memory of being like a ninth grader and somebody, one of my brother's friends saying that he was at practice and heard my dad say the F word. And I did not believe him. There's no way my dad would ever say that. That was, of course, before he was on national TV. Now it's been proven.
Now it has been proven. Now the F word is fund. Yeah. F-U-N-D. Yes. J Fund. Okay. Kelly, tell us, you do so many things that the J Fund impacts here. What areas does the J Fund have the opportunity to be there to enhance the lives and make it easier, this period for these families that have gotten this diagnosis?
Well, you know, we're a real grassroots organization who provides financial, emotional, and practical support for families tackling childhood cancer. So we do a variety of things. About 60% of our grants go to help families financially with household expenses. You know, one parent stops working, expenses go up. Due to the medical situation that they're going through, there's special equipment needed. There's an increase in transportation costs for families going back and forth to the clinic and hospital on such a regular basis. So we step in. We relieve some of that burden. In addition to that, we have a new financial literacy program where we have a financial coach, and she actually sits down with families. We help them through a crisis period without financial assistance, but she helps them figure out how they're going to get through the long-term diagnosis of childhood cancer and come back financially intact. On top of that, we do things to make their life brighter, to improve their quality of life, make them feel special, just have fun experiences and create memories as families.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, though, that you guys provide somebody who has the knowledge to help them understand what they will be facing in the future and to help them crunch the numbers, so to speak.
We're really excited about this program. We launched it at the end of 2012, and we're having terrific feedback. So families are feeling empowered. They're coming up with budgets. They're trying to figure out a plan. They still have to make some very difficult decisions, and it's not easy. But, we're there kind of to help them get through it and hopefully come out on the other side of childhood cancer without having lost their home or having to have filed bankruptcy or being, you know, in a really rough situation. So hopefully when their child's healthy again, they can move forward in a positive way.
No one would ever want to be in the position, and no one could probably imagine how it feels to be in that position. I know how I feel every year just listening to some of the tales of the bravery of these families, and particularly the kids that have been diagnosed. Has there been a recent story like that that's impacted you? I mean, you must hear these kind of thing and deal with these things on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, I mean, all the kids touch your heart. They're so brave and strong, and what they go through is, you know, you can't even imagine. As a parent myself, the week of Thanksgiving, one of my top blessings is the health of my children. Certainly, I can't imagine. You know, you worry about your child when they have the sniffles, and here these families are dealing with a life-threatening situation. So it's, you know, it's particularly difficult. I can't imagine what it's like to be in their shoes. But it's certainly a blessing to be there. We unfortunately had some bad news yesterday that one of the teenage young men that we work with passed away. And so, you know, Luke was a kid that came to a lot of our parties. We got to know him and his mom really well. He had been doing fine with treatment. He was 2.5 years into his 3.5 year treatment. And something happened over the weekend. He ended up in ICU and unfortunately passed away yesterday. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, there's a lot of good stories, but there's also a lot of really difficult stories, and it certainly keeps you motivated.
Well, all of our condolences, obviously, to the family of Luke and to everyone like yourself, who knew him and got to know him over the last few years. Let's bring in someone you know, I think, pretty well now. Nancy Tolman is the Director of Marketing and Public Relations at the Brumos Companies, and I know a big supporter of the J Fund. Let's say hello to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Nancy, tell us, what is it about the J Fund that wanted to get Brumos involved, or that Brumos wanted to get involved? You guys have been supporting the J Fund since 2008.
We have. It's been a real privilege to participate with the Tom Coughlin J Fund. Just the personal touch that they provide for families that are undergoing such burdens, and to give the relief of pressure that these parents and children are under, for the Tom Coughlin J Fund to provide that, it's just an amazing thing.
Kelly, for you, you see the impact every day that corporate sponsorship and support does for this organization. How important is Nancy and Brumos and organizations like that to the ongoing effort?
Well, the Jacksonville area is incredibly generous. We have a lot of individual donors. We certainly appreciate your listeners out there today on 1010XL, but a real big piece of the puzzle for our fundraising events is our corporate sponsorship opportunities. And Brumos, like you've mentioned, has been with us since 2008. They help make our events a success and really help us be able to do what we do. So we're very appreciative to them and so many others.
Nancy, for you personally, if you could tell the people that are listening right now why you think it's important to support the J Fund as an individual, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that they touch lives in ways that you just can't even imagine if you're not going through it yourself. To attend these events that they put on and be able to see the testimonies of some of these families and what they're going through and how much the Tom Coughlin J Fund touches their lives, it's a wonderful, wonderful organization to be involved with. I do want to say, if I could speak it real quickly here, Brumos Automotive, I've challenged all of the managers to make a donation today, and right now I have collected 25 donations of the $96 from managers for a total of $2,400. Brumos Automotive is also going to match all those donations, which we expect will hopefully go up substantially once I've heard back from everybody.
Wow,
and
that's
I'd
awesome.
Like And we want to challenge other companies and corporations out there to step up and do the same thing.
Nancy, that's fantastic. That's another
awesome,
$5,000 or so to the cause.
Thank you so much.
Goes a long way. Nancy,
very
thank you so
people.
Much. And I know, you know, I can't speak for Kelly. I don't need to. She probably tells you all the time herself. But tremendous work you guys do supporting the J Fund. It is greatly appreciated here by so many people who are either directly impacted by it or just believe in the foundation and what they're doing. So thank you again for all your efforts with Brumos.
Well, thank y'all for running this radio-a-thon. It's going to do great things for the people in our community. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Nancy.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Nancy. There she goes.
Everybody.
Nancy, the Director of Marketing and Public Relations at the Brumos Companies. That's pretty awesome. And you can certainly do that, folks. You want to challenge folks, you want to call up and use our airwaves to challenge your coworkers or your employees or whatever the case may be, your friends, your neighbors, head to tcjfund.org or call 904-207-7070. Make a one-time gift of $96. Kelly, as we wrap up with you, and we'll be talking with a lot more folks, including some of the parents and children impacted by this, looking forward to them seeing how they're doing. But tell, in your opinion, why is it important for our listeners today to be able to support the J Fund?
Well, nobody prepares for a situation like having a child with cancer. In most cases, people live on a day-to-day budget. They live paycheck to paycheck. And this is something huge. When a child is diagnosed with cancer, that family's life is never the same. So far this year, in 2014, the J Fund has helped 110 families with financial expenses. And that doesn't include the emotional and the other support that we've provided. So there's a real need out there. About 96 children get diagnosed a year in Jacksonville. Last year was exactly 96, and that's why we're asking listeners to give $96 or more in honor of these brave children and to help us reach out and help those families tackle childhood cancer.
I think the one unique thing about the Tom Coughlin J Fund is the operating expense ratio. In other words, every dollar that is given to that, how much of that actually goes to help families directly? Because a lot of the organizations that are throughout the country that claim to do all these wonderful things, a lot of times it's a 50-50 proposition. That's not the case with you guys.
That is true. We're pretty proud of our operating expenses being very low. Only 7% of our expenses go to our general and administrative costs. All the rest go to help families. And, you know, we pride ourselves on being a lean organization that's nimble enough to really make an impact and be flexible and help families where they need it most.
I have a feeling that a lot of that discipline comes from the man himself, Tom.
Yes, he's very involved, and he doesn't like to see the bottom line go up on the expense side, that's for sure. He really it's a priority for him to really make sure that we can turn around as much of the funds that we collect as possible and make a difference for families. That's why we're doing it.
Right. So if you make a $96 donation, basically $90 of that or thereabouts is going, which is a phenomenal ratio. So if you want to, you know, make a $105 donation, if you want to make sure that $96 is going fully, however you want to do it, we'll take any amount. And certainly we encourage you to be generous with that today. Kelly, you've done great work, seriously, with this, and we see it all the time here at 1010XL, but particularly on this day when we hold the Radiothon every year. Continued success in your endeavors, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to a point where there's one day no longer a need for the J Fund. But in the meantime, continued great work, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, and thanks to 1010XL and to all of your listeners for really being part of our team.
We appreciate it. Absolutely on board with Team J Fund. Kelly Coughlin, the executive director of the J Fund. We'll talk with Kristen Rozanka. I believe I'm saying that correctly. Her daughter Elizabeth was diagnosed with acute infant lymphoma leukemia in 2012 at the age of 2 months, and happy to tell you that Elizabeth is now 2.5 years old, and Christy will tell you her story coming up. More with Jeff Logman as well, and we'll get in some thoughts on the Jags and the Giants squaring off after the Thanksgiving holiday. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Logman, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks here with you for Kelly Coughlin and Nancy Toman. Again, encouraging you to give generously today to the Tom Coughlin J Fund, 904-207-7070. Pick up the phone right now. If you're thinking about it, don't wait. Don't say, oh, I'll do this later. You can do it later, but there's no time like the present. 207-7070. Make a one-time donation of $96 and help those families impacted directly here on the First Coast. Your money stays home, helping your friends, helping your neighbors, helping your loved ones maybe in some instances as well. So, again, the number today, don't call us. Call 904-207-7070. Back with more Jaguars today in a moment here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Supertramp would ask you to give a little bit. I'll ask you to give a lot. If you can give $96 to the J Fund, that's great. If you can give $96,000 to the J Fund, that would be better. I'm just going to be honest with you. So give whatever you can give. But if you can, feel good about yourself today. Give that $96 one-time donation. J Fund's not going to continue to, it's not one of those things you have to call and cancel because they're going to keep sending you an invoice every month. Make a one-time gift. It's so easy. You pick up the phone, you call 904-207-7070. 207-7070. And you can donate to the Tom Coughlin J Fund. You can always go to tcjfund.org. tcjayfund.org and make a donation at the website as well, really anytime you like. But today in particular, we're trying to raise $60,000, and we're off to a good start, but we need your help out there, and your help assists your neighbors' help, assists your community, just assists the people right here on the First Coast. As Jeff pointed out, 93 cents on every dollar. That's
impressive.
I couldn't imagine a charity being that well run that could do that and give that back and keep every single penny of that money right here in the Jacksonville community.
Just to let everybody know, I mean, if most of the charitable giving organizations have to publish that because that's part of, you know, public record. And so, I mean, there's very, very, very few organizations that are at 93%. I don't know how many that are. I mean, in some of the great organizations that many hold in high regard, if you're at 75%, you're considered at the epic level of achievement.
Right. 93% is almost unheard of, which makes you feel good about the work that those folks are doing. It makes you even feel a little bit better, maybe I should put it. Look, if you're going to tweet us today in regards to anything either football-related, J-Fund, Radiothon-related, use the hashtags GiveForThe96 and also hashtag TCJFRadiothon. We'll be retweeting a picture that the Tom Coughlin J-Fund official Twitter feed is going to send out. They may be sending it out as I speak of little Elizabeth. We've got her mom, Christy Rozanka, here with us. Hi, Christy. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
First of all, we're very happy to hear that your little girl is doing so well, 2.5 years young. And just tell us, I believe, you know, you and I were just reminiscing a moment ago. We probably spoke a couple of years ago, shortly after Elizabeth got diagnosed. Take us back to that initial diagnosis, what that was like for you.
Elizabeth was diagnosed on February 4th of 2012 with infant acute lymphoblastic leukemia. She was 8 weeks old that day. It was a regular day, but she woke up and was very, very pale and had a low-grade fever, and something wasn't sitting right with me. So it was a Saturday, so instead of going to the pediatrician, we went to the emergency room, and they ran labs, and they were bad. They were very, very bad. And from there, we were transferred over to the pediatric intensive care unit at Wolfson's, where we spent the next 5 days. Treatment started the next day. We were told she had a 20 to 40% chance of survival, leaning towards 20, given her age. Infant leukemia is a little bit different than regular childhood leukemia. I guess you would call it regular. I don't know. But it's a little bit more stubborn, and it doesn't have the odds that childhood leukemia does. So things weren't looking very good for her. She was very, very sick. The concern for the first night was making sure that she didn't have a stroke. We spent the next month in the hospital, and we were pretty much in the hospital from, with the exception of a straight 11-week break, we were in July of that year. We were in the hospital from February until the following February, pretty much all the time.
Turns your life completely upside down.
Yes. I was still on maternity leave when she got sick. I was getting ready to go back to work. But that wasn't really an option because she needed me. And when your child first gets sick, all you focus on is the illness. You don't think about real life and the other stuff until, you know, the second, third week, and all of a sudden now you're dealing with the anxiety of your child's illness, but you're also dealing with the anxiety of, well, how are we going to get by? We have another child at home to think about. Andrew had just turned 4 at the time. So it was very, very overwhelming.
How in the world did you find out about the J-Fund?
The J-Fund, it was the social worker on the floor at Wolfson on the pediatric oncology floor. She had come in and was talking to us basically about all our options that we had and different organizations that were out there. And living in Jacksonville and having gone to Jaguar games, we had heard of the J-Fund, but I really didn't know what they did. I knew it had to do with Tom Coughlin, but that was really it. And so the social worker had explained to us that the J-Fund could help us pay our electric bill 1 month or help us pay our mortgage. And that was just, there's no words to describe how that feels when you are so overwhelmed and all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, hey, there's this organization that can pay your JEA bill this month. And all of a sudden you can breathe. You know, I couldn't leave her. She was a baby. There was just, I've said this before. I didn't know her. She was 8 weeks old. I didn't know her. And I wanted that chance to know my daughter because we didn't even know if we were going to get to take her home from the hospital. And so thanks to the J Fund, we didn't have to worry about what you kind of start to see as the little things, you know, even though bills are pretty big things. But when you look at it through a cancer parent's eyes, they're little things, you know.
Can we give people some good news on how Elizabeth is doing right now?
She's amazing. Her official remission date is March of 2012, March 13th. And she kicked some cancer butt, is the best way to put it. She'll be 3 very soon on December 10th. She's still in remission. We just had her 10-month off-treatment clinic appointment. She's a rock star. She's stubborn. She's crazy. She's loud. And every time I start to get frustrated with her about how stubborn and demanding and just full of energy she is, and I have to remind myself that it's that attitude that got her to where she is today. So it's okay if she's yelling no at me sometimes.
the J Fund tweeted out, it's retweeted the picture that you shared with us of Elizabeth when she was diagnosed as a baby and holding up a little sign. You know what the sign says?
I fought infant leukemia and I won.
Does she have a concept of what she's been through?
No, not at all.
It's amazing how just resilient children are.
I mean, she has no idea. She knows now because she doesn't have her port anymore. So she knows that when she goes to clinic once a month that she's going to get poked with a needle. And she walks into the lab with her arm bent going, ow, ow, ow. But other than that, she just thinks that people love to pay attention to her, and she needs to be the center of attention all the time. And, you know, even our son, who's about to be 7, the J Fund has done great things for him too. The holiday party's coming up, and he just started asking me about it a couple of weeks ago. When's the J Fund party coming? When's the J Fund party coming? And this is something that they do every year for the families, and you get to go and just have fun, and it's 2 hours of nonstop fun, and it's great, because even though childhood cancer brought us all together, that's not what we talk about when we're there. And people don't look at my daughter like she's the cancer kid or anything like that, because trust me, in public and with people that we know, people look at her like the cancer kid. People were afraid of my daughter. Who's afraid of a baby? But, you know, people still were. And so that's, you know, some other great things that the J Fund does for us, too.
Now that I mean, you're in remission, I mean, first of all, I mean, your time spent here obviously speaks volumes about how you feel about the Tom Coughlin J Fund. How active are you now with the events that they have?
We still get invited to things all the time. I always say that I call it our relationship with the J Fund began probably week 2 of Elizabeth's diagnosis, week 2 or 3, and it's continued. And just because she's not in treatment anymore, her treatment ended February of this year, but nothing's changed. Nothing. It's not a, hey, you're not in treatment anymore, your kid's not sick anymore, see you later kind of situation. It's not. It's our relationship is exactly the same as it was when she first got diagnosed. So we still get to participate in activities with them, and it's wonderful.
We'll be talking about it all day, but none of us here can talk about it with the impact that you can. So tell people why you think it's important that they are able to donate, if they're able to.
Any donation, I mean, the money goes a long way. Like I said, it helps to pay bills so you don't have to lose your house or move in with people and worry about, because you want to be there, you know, to not to sound like I'm throwing the slogan in there.
It's
but,
okay.
But
the slogan is the slogan for a reason.
You know, it allows parents to be there for their children. And the thing is childhood cancer doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care what economic bracket you're in, what social bracket you're in. Childhood cancer shows up whenever it feels like, to whoever it feels like. There was something I saw online that says, you ask why you should care about childhood cancer because your child doesn't have cancer. and you're not a cancer parent. Well, the night before Elizabeth was diagnosed, neither was I. So, you know, you're helping families in need, but you never know. You could be paying it forward. I mean, you never know when that's going to be you in that situation. Childhood cancer is not rare. It doesn't care who you are. It just, it rips your life apart. And the J Fund is there to help you put the pieces back together.
Well, congratulations first and foremost about Elizabeth.
Thank you.
I mean, it's awesome. Awesome story, and it's real life.
Yep.
You know, and congratulations to you and your family.
On both your healthy kids.
Yes.
Which is nice. And thanks for coming in and doing this. And, you know, it's not easy for people to ask for money, but I'm more than happy to do it. When you see, like you said, there but for the grace of God go the rest of us. So hopefully for you guys, Elizabeth is done going down this road, and she's going to be an inspiration for a lot of people, I think, to give and help others. And we just appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you very much.
All right, good to see you. There she is, Christy Rozanka. You got to go to my Twitter feed, at MD_1010XL, and see the most adorable little barefoot girl and her little sign that she has no idea what it says. That is pretty cool. Pretty cool. Logs, I don't know how we follow that.
Can we get
up.
A tissue box in here?
I need one. I need one every year, bro. I mean, I'm not ashamed of it. It's,
heck no.
You think about your own kids and, pretty rough stuff right there, man. But, you know, I don't know if we follow that up with, any football. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break, shall we? And, again, thank Christy Rozanka for sharing that with us here on Jaguars Today and on 1010XL, and encourage all of you out there. I don't know what I could say after that would get you to donate if you listened to Christy and you weren't moved. I don't know, but regardless, 904-207-7070. Pick up the phone, one-time hit on your credit card, $96. Do it however you like. Go to tcjfund.org if you want to, if you can't call in right now, but 904-207-7070. We ask you for a one-time gift of $96 or anything you can give well beyond that. Happy to accept those donations as well. You want to call up today and challenge your coworkers or your neighbors, your friends, your family. You're welcome to do that. Use our airwaves to do that as well. And give that gift because just that's a small slice of the impact that the J Fund is able to make. So again, thanks to Christy for sharing the story of her family and what the J Fund's being able to do with them. So with that, we'll take a quick time out. We come back. We've got some news from around the NFL. We've got this state in football history. We'll spend a few minutes with Logman talking about Jags Giants as well, and we'll get back to the TC J Fund Radiothon momentarily on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, just a quick reminder today. Not really taking your phone calls on the air. The call you need to make, we say need. You need to make it if you at all possibly can, is to 904-207-7070, 207-7070, and make that one-time gift of $96 to the J Fund. If you like Logman, make that donation. If you like me, or you more likely, if you dislike me, make it in spite of me. Whatever reason you need to make it, if you can make it, we would appreciate it. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Happy birthday
to
Marquise Lee.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
How old?
23 years young today.
I'll be done.
1991. Damn, I'm old.
I would have thought he would be younger than that.
I know, right? Yeah. But I guess, he played you know, 3 years in a red shirt? Did he red shirt?
Yeah, I think he did.
So, you know, I guess that's about right. You know, 23, are you kidding me? That's as young as it gets in my mind, brother.
I just remember, I mean, when I was a rookie, I was drafted at 20 and then turned 21 until I was in the NFL.
Sure.
You know, so I was actually second youngest player in the National Football League, and the only one that was younger than me was Barry Sanders that year.
Wow, about that?
Yeah.
The two greatest at their positions possibly of all time, Tony, right?
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Logman and Sanders.
Yeah, that's not bad.
In that order.
he'll take that right now.
This date, in 1976, November 25th, Buffalo running back O.J. Simpson ran for an NFL record at the time, 273 yards at Detroit. Not good enough for the Bills as they fell to the Lions 27-14. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, featuring the custom fit Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. Give them a call at 620-9225, located on Gate Parkway here in Jacksonville. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, you can visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, Houston was hoping to get a glimpse of its future at the quarterback position in Ryan Mallett for the rest of this season. That glimpse may wind up being all too brief. All indications are that Mallett has torn a pectoral muscle, which would put him out for the rest of the 2014 season. After just two starts, the Texans traded for Mallett in August with the New England Patriots, and Kansas City Chiefs safety Eric Berry has been placed on the non-football illness list, ending his 2014 season after a mass was found in his chest that is most likely lymphoma. Berry complained of pain in his chest after the Chiefs' loss last Thursday against the Raiders. He underwent an MRI on Friday where the mass in his chest was found. Berry has addressed his teammates and let them know that he is fine and told them that he will get through this. I think he talked to them yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, certainly with everything that's going on here today, that even hits home a little bit more. You know, as we talk about childhood cancers, Eric Berry, wish him certainly the best. He's a dynamic talent, to be sure, in the National Football League. You look at a guy like that, Jeff, and look, he's got a long fight ahead of him, hopefully a successful one, but he's got every support system in the world. He's got the National Football League. You know, he'll continue to get paid. He'll take a leave of absence, non-football injury list, what have you. He'll have the best medical care. And he, you know, it's still going to be difficult. It's a life-changing situation. Now imagine that being your typical 9-to-5 or family with a little kid. Like right. We just heard about, so that really hits home, to me at least, with the importance of what the J-Fund does.
Well, it's a very unique approach because it's addressing the needs that are away from the medical field.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, people don't even think about that. I mean, when you think about a child that gets sick, you're thinking of, okay, what's the best way that they can get better and what's the medical treatment that's going to be able to make them recover or allow them to recover? But, I mean, just the physical and the emotional stress with a parent and a family dealing with something like that, I can't imagine.
Go home and hug your kids today, right? I mean, come on, you should do that every day. But particularly when you have a moment of clarity, it's like Elizabeth said, Christy said about Elizabeth a minute ago. She's still a kid. I'm going to get frustrated with her. She's, stubborn, bullheaded, whatever. Then she realized, well, that's probably why she's still around, because
take that any day of the week.
Oh, you take any. You know what? Play a little too many video games today, Colin. I'll cut you some slack today. I'll give him a hug and look the other way on that one today. Jeff, let's
just today.
Just today. And on his birthday on certain occasions, but you get my meaning here. Let's talk a little football here. Obviously, you know, the import of what we're trying to get accomplished is at the forefront again, 904-207-7070. If you want to make that one-time gift of $96 to the Tom Coughlin J-Fund, phone lines are being manned right now as we speak, and this is ongoing all day. We have a goal of $60,000. There is a lot of money that needs to be raised. I see a lot of folks on Twitter. We saw the Bold City Brigade LA chapter. Somebody made a donation from there based on the tweet we sent out.
Yeah,
they challenged everybody. Right.
At Jag and Flight wanted to challenge everybody that's a part of the BCB here in Jacksonville and out there in LA. I retweeted that as well as put out another tweet
and
challenging those guys.
We'll be making our donations too. You better believe it. We challenge all of you who are capable of doing it to step up to the plate and help out your friends and neighbors. And hopefully, as Christy said, today you're not a family that's impacted by it. Perhaps tomorrow you may be. It changes obviously that quickly for these folks. But with all those thoughts in our mind, Jeff, let's turn our attention to Tom Coughlin, the coach, coming into town with the New York Giants. It is a game of matchups. We get that. But as you see the Jags get beat pretty handily by Dallas, and then you see the Giants look like they had Dallas on the ropes on Sunday Night Football, the natural thought that jumps in your head is, how is this team going to be able to compete with that team the way they're playing right now offensively, not putting many points on the board? It is a game of matchups, though. How do you think the Jags stand in their chance to maybe upset the Giants or at least make this a fourth-quarter game?
Well, I felt that against the Indianapolis Colts this past weekend that they would have an opportunity to do more offensively, because I think the Colts defense is average. Well, I think the New York Giants defense is average. You know, the expectation against the Colts didn't work out. They only scored 3 points. You know, the one thing, though, that they have to be able to do is to limit the giveaways offensively. And the Giants are in the same boat. What does Eli Manning have, like 12 interceptions now?
12. He had 5-1 game.
Yeah. But you can't win when you're doing that. I mean, you're talking about, what is it, 11th year quarterback in Eli Manning who's still turning the ball over.
It's kind of who he is, though, right, Tony? I mean, he's a guy, and I'm not ripping him. That's who he is. He's
a guy. But that's not what he can be.
Well, we know what he's capable of being, but has he ever been able to sustain that for long periods of time?
Well, I think the reason they were able to overcome some of that in the past is because they were so good everywhere else. I mean, defensively, they had waves of guys in that front four that they used to be able to play.
Agreed.
Offensively, they had playmakers across the board for the most part. And Eli Manning was very aggressive with the football, throwing it down the field. So much like the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, they get so many opportunities. If you turn the ball over a few times, you can overcome it. You know, but the New York Giants aren't that good as a team. They're a very young team. And from watching their game film from the Dallas game, and then also watched the previous game that they played, and I can't even remember the opponent, but watched that yesterday, you can tell that they're very young and inexperienced. The offensive line is still trying to figure some things out. They've been playing a little bit of musical chairs there. Defensively, you know, JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, still a tremendous talent in the secondary. They've had a lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistencies in the lineup. The linebacking core is kind of average. You know, so I think this is an opportunity for the Jaguars offense to play well. But now, what is the definition of playing well? Is it scoring 17 points?
Right.
Is it scoring 20 points?
By their standard, that would be. Right. But that, by the NFL standards, that's not playing well offensively. I mean, you shouldn't look up and say, you know, we had the feeling, you can tell us if you felt the same way watching the game. Obviously, we're holding out hope that things are going to turn around, but once Indy went up 13-3.
You felt that the game was completely over, out of reach, and you could also feel the energy level of the defense just get dwindled to nothing. Because they understand, I mean, look, hey, guys on the other side of the ball understand what you are. And when you get down two possessions, where's the hope? You know, what's the reason to keep playing hard? Well, you always try to play hard.
Sure.
But at the same time, football is an emotional sport. You know, it's an emotional sport, and it's a sport of intensity. And if you don't have that edge, which it's hard to keep that edge when your offense is so unproductive, it's hard to finish a game and finish it in the fashion that you started it. So somehow, some way, in the remaining 5 weeks, if this defense is going to continue to play like it's been playing, which has been playing pretty good, the offense has to give them some semblance of a reward to allow them to keep their energy level up. Because that's the strength of this football team right now, is the defense.
If the Giants are able to pressure the Jags, and let's say they're sending guys saying, you know what, we watch a film against Indy. We think if we get there, you're not going to have time to get it all right. So they bring the pressure, right? How are you, if you're put yourself in Jed Fish's shoes here, what kind of game plan do you think you should do to counteract that?
Well, I think the game plan is going to be very pared down, and they're going to do maybe 5 or 6 basic things and run them and run them and run them. And if you kind of read between lines with Gus Bradley, he talked about the amount of time that they spend in practice versus the amount of time that they're actually calling the plays in a game, and are we practicing wisely? And it wasn't direct criticism of Jed Fish, but I read it as a critique of Jed Fish, and that he is telling Jed Fish these things in a private meeting room. And I don't know that for a fact, but I'm assuming that that's because, you know, Gus Bradley's pretty transparent. And if he's saying these things to the media, he's saying those things to Jed Fish. And he wants Jed Fish to focus in on some basic concepts to allow a very young offense to have success and to succeed with repetition.
We talked about earlier, it's tough to know exactly how many shots they had called to go down the field. It's tough to know if Jed Fish maybe he's paring that back because he doesn't trust the protection. And if you know you're just going to get your quarterback hit and you're not going to be successful, you do it just to do it. But it's a natural thing with fans. Teams 1-10, they're struggling primarily on offense right now. Okay. A lot of attention is being turned towards the offensive coordinator in terms of he's too predictable. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. And it's you get why all that goes into it. Jeff, if they don't win more games and the offense doesn't show signs of heading in the right direction, is Jed Fish in trouble in terms of his job security here?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, you know, and it's a hypothetical question. There's still 5 weeks remaining.
Sure.
You know, so I think the only one that knows the answer to that is Gus Bradley and Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell. You know, that's their decision to make. But you want to see progress because, you know, with a young team, and, you know, we were talking before we got on the air, I was talking about this with Jeff Prosser and Dan Hicken. If you try to draw a comparison to another team in the National Football League that has done what the Jaguars offensively are doing now, committing to such a young group across the board, I don't think you have any comparisons to draw from. There is no other team in the National Football League that I have ever seen or even know about that have ever committed to that many young players on the offense. So what is the measurement of success? You know, can with nothing to reflect upon, you don't know. But it has to be an internal success thing, I think, with that group. You've got to start seeing signs of progress because, most importantly, it was never about last year and it was never about this year. It's about next year and beyond for this football team. And in order to generate some momentum in multiple ways, I'm talking about off-season and, you know, the off-season excitement with the players, the off-season excitement with the coaches, and all of that, the off-season excitement with the fans, to give them something to carry them into the offseason to help with ticket sales. I mean, that's part of the deal. You need to have some kind of success, some kind of positive trend in the remaining 5 weeks.
That you can sell.
That you can sell.
Yeah.
But it's not about just selling the tickets. It's about selling that we're headed in the right direction.
No, I'm not talking about just the dollars and say to sell the progress that you hope is occurring behind the scenes. With that, let's boil it down to simply, for a final minute or two here, Blake Bortles this Sunday, what would you like to see as an indicator of progress or kind of a bounce back from him? What will you be looking for?
Do you remember early on when we saw him presence in the pocket, extending plays, making throws on the run? I want to see the guy that played loose and free in the first couple starts that he had finishing up in the remainder of these 5 games. A guy that feels confident, a guy that feels sure, and a guy that is showing athleticism, which means he's confident. We haven't seen that in the last couple of
weeks. Is it the interceptions you think that could be sapping his confidence?
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is the interceptions. Part of it is also trying to understand the game and to get it to slow down for him. You know, so it's so many different things, but it's also the offensive line. It's hard and it's impossible. It's the greatest team sport of all, and it can be the most frustrating team sport of all, especially when you're a player, because you might be playing exceptionally well, but because there are 10 other components to the unit that you're participating in, you have to have all 10 components to work together to be able to have success. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing when you do have success in football, because it's hard to achieve that. And it's even much harder with a group that's so young. So, and it's a challenge now. I mean, this is not an easy obstacle to overcome for Gus Bradley and Jed Fish now. I mean, because you're so young across the board and you have not gotten consistency or things that you can lean on and say, hey, look, we're struggling. We're not doing this very well, but hey, look, we've been doing this pretty well. Let's lean on this. You don't have that. You know, you thought you had that with the running game.
Right.
But then you didn't against the Indianapolis Colts. And when the Indianapolis Colts brought up extra guys to stop the run, you didn't have an answer for it. You got to start finding answers.
All right. He is Jeff Logman. He's got a bunch of answers, and we'll get more in depth, obviously, on Jags Giants with Jeff looking back next Tuesday. A little film room session. Logs, I appreciate you making it over to 9090 Hogan Road today.
Enjoy it. Now
it's funny that it's our home away from home, even though it's home, really, for the hub. But as we're down at Everbank every week, I know you got work to do. Thanks for hanging in there with us today on the Tom Coughlin Radiothon, Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon as well. And we'll see you down at the stadium.
I'll see you there, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you, man. Jeff Logs.
Great organization.
Give Jeff a follow on Twitter, at Logs. 56, L-O-G-S-56. If you didn't get your fix of football questions in for Jeff today, tweet him, inundate him, bury him in his inbox, at Logs56. Folks, the number today, 904 207-7070. Make a one-time gift of $96 or whatever you can give. You go beyond that, that's fantastic. But be there for kids with cancer here on the First Coast and their families. As of about 12 minutes ago, we had raised over $26,000 here today so far on the Tom Coughlin J Fund Radiothon. The goal by noon is to get that number up to $30,000. I'm going to go walk my credit card to the back of the building here in a minute and see if I can't put a dent in that. But we encourage you to do that. Help us get there by noon. All you Jaguars Today supporters, if you're appreciative of the show that we bring you, appreciative of the guys like Jeff Lagerman that we get to appear on the show with us on a weekly basis, and you want to help your friends and neighbors out here in the local community, make that call to 904-207-7070 and support the Tom Coughlin J Fund Radiothon ongoing today. When we return in a moment, Rebecca Herndon is going to join us. Her son Blake got a diagnosis of leukemia back in 2007 and has been dealing with that on and off since. And little bird tells me it may be his birthday today.
Oh.
So we'll hopefully have a happy story on the other side of the impact that the J Fund has made. And stick with us here. Trying to support the great work that Tom Coughlin and all the folks at the TC J Fund have done on the First Coast. 904-207-7070. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Not bad. All right, that one doesn't have given it, I don't think, Brooks. But well played, nonetheless. I don't know if everybody in the studio can't hear it, but you say it's your birthday.
Give him a happy birthday.
Yes. 904-207-7070. You can make a lot of folks happy here on the First Coast. If you can call that number today as we continue with the Tom Coughlin J Fund Radiothon here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Raised over $26,000 so far today. The goal by noon is to hit $30,000, so please don't let me down. That's right. I'll be a bad guy and ask for your money today and lots of it. $96 is great. $196 is better. $500 is better than that. That's just being honest with you. But if you can give that one-time gift of $96 or anything you can give, it will be greatly appreciated by all the families being impacted by childhood cancer here on the First Coast that the Tom Coughlin J Fund reaches out to and touches. We've already heard the story of the Ruzanka family. Probably going to need another box of tissues coming up here shortly, Tony.
Man.
Rebecca Herndon is going to join us momentarily. Her son Blake was diagnosed with, see if I can get this right, acute lymphoblastic leukemia in November of 2007 and relapsed in July of 2007. The Herndon family has received financial assistance from the J Fund that includes attending parties and events, and they also recently paid for Blake's cord blood. We'll talk with Rebecca more about her son, who just happens to be sitting across from me, Tony, celebrating his 14th birthday
hey!
Today. Happy birthday to Blake. Blake, lean into that microphone real quick, if you would. How are you? Happy birthday, man.
Hey, thank you.
It's good to see you. Did you know they were going to bring you a big cake in here?
No, I didn't. I just walked in. I was surprised.
Do you know what happens when there's a cake with candles lit on it? You know what happens next?
I got to blow them out.
Well, we got to sing. Everybody, let's sing happy birthday to Blake. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Blake. Happy birthday to you. Got it. Nice job. Nice job. Nice job. Blake, it is great to meet you and great to see you here today as we get ready to talk with your mom. Rebecca Herndon, how's your young man doing?
Oh, he's doing wonderful.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
That's great. I mean, 2007, it's been, I guess, basically 7 years, November of that year.
Exactly.
That you, just what's it like to hear the diagnosis for the first time? Take us back, if you could.
It was just shocking. You just don't understand it. You get so much information, and you're just trying to gather yourself and compose yourself so he doesn't see that you're completely falling apart in the inside. So it was just devastating.
A seven-year-old at the time, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we just talked with a mom whose daughter is still now just 2.5 years old and doesn't really realize what she's been through. Mm-hmm. Was it in some ways, I mean, you don't probably have anything to compare it to, but having a son that at least you could speak to and he could understand a little bit of what's going on, how important was that for you and for him and for the family?
It was extremely important. At first, he really didn't. It took him maybe about a year for him to understand what he had. But we kept implying, you know, you're going to do good. And he's been my support system because, you know, he looked at me. He goes, whatever I have, but I can get through this. I can do this, Mom. I got this. Don't worry about it. So that just blew me away. And he just continues to say that and continues to pull through. So, yeah.
You don't need to say anymore.
No. That's a very strong young man. That's awesome. How did you hear about the J Fund?
Through a social worker up at Nemours. They came and told us that, hey, you don't have to do this alone. We have help for you. We have a support system. So if you need them, let us know and we'll get together and we'll be like a family. So.
And what have they done? Exactly what have they done for your family specifically?
Specifically, pay bills. You know, it gets tough. You have to pay. There's, you know, insurance only pays so much. And when you're paying those, other things get left behind, and that's where the J-Fund came around and picked up those pieces for us so we didn't have to, you know, completely fall apart.
I get a little choked up. I'm sorry. Just tell us, you know, from your point of view, people today, we ask them every year, they probably get tired of hearing it, but we try to humanize the stories of what's happening in this community, and you're a big part of that. So in your own words, if you could, just tell people why it's important, in your opinion, to support the J Fund.
Oh, it's extremely important. Without them, we wouldn't have been able to afford the blood core. And, you know, we submitted our a sheet asking them for help to get that money because it's extremely expensive. And we got a letter from them, and they paid for the whole thing. And without that support that they've done for us, he wouldn't be standing here right now, you know, because he needed that. That was our last resort. That was the last thing that we needed for him to survive and to stay alive. And they helped us do that by paying for that blood core. So you could be saving a life.
I mean, literally, more than just, you know, and it's important what they do in terms of the financial support of the day-to-day expenses and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But to go to that length, what you're saying is, I mean, to help provide a treatment even yeah. that you would have otherwise not been able to provide
right.
your son.
Right, and he needed it right away. I mean, this was his third and last time that we could have him
you don't need to be sorry. Is Blake in remission?
He is in remission now. He is doing beautiful. He really is. And when he goes to the clinic, you know, he's there and he gives them support. The younger kids, he's like, you can do this. You can pull through. I know you can. So he's just a beautiful person. And I'm so glad he's still here with me because I don't know what I would do without him.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder about it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
I see the Bulls sweater over there. Were you a Bulls fan? You a Jaguars fan too? Or?
Yes, sir. All right. You see that orange and blue cake? I'm guessing that wasn't accidental either.
Yeah.
But despite that, I'm okay with Blake. It's pretty terrific. No one can express what their child means to them in just words. So I think people can hear it in your voice, and we're happy for you. You know, it's a success story, and it's good to share those stories with folks out there, and so they can see the real impact that the J Fund makes in real people's lives. And we talk about it all the time, but you know, it's brave of both of you, I think, to come in and put a face on that and share your story. And not everybody can do that, so we appreciate you doing that. We're very happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, Blake. Happy birthday, dude.
Yeah, man. All right. Happy birthday.
What's he into? What is he? Does he drive you crazy? Is he? Is he into sports? What does he do?
Yeah, he's a big fan of football.
Yeah.
Huge fan of football. So.
Good kid? Is he doing well in school?
Yes, he's doing wonderful. All B's and one C, so he's doing amazing.
We'll take that, man.
Yes, I'll take that
All right,
day.
Keep working hard. Keep working hard. Work as hard in school as you did to whip cancer's butt, and you're going to be just fine, all right? Blake, we appreciate you stopping by, and your mom, Rebecca, as well. Again, happy birthday, and thanks for sharing your story of what the J-Fund's done for you guys.
Thank you.
All right, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you can't really top any of those stories in the family's own words, other than to say, if you are a parent like I am, it gets me every year. You know, my kid is 10, and knock on wood, he is healthy as a horse, and I think, this really makes you think, because you don't like to dwell on the alternative, what that could be. And you don't ever think about that, at least I don't, as a parent. You try to keep him safe, but you can't. What can you do to fight cancer, right? I mean, to prevent that in your kids with childhood leukemia, so.
I think Christy said it about as well as anyone could. I mean, it's childhood cancer rips your life apart.
And one day you're a family not impacted by it, and the next day you are.
Right. And J-Fund, what they are, they're there to help put the pieces back together. I mean, that's exactly what they said. And that's the stories that we hear every year are so impactful. Because it is about the things that you don't think about in your daily life. I mean, the idea of, okay, if I had a child that had cancer, now I got to figure out a way to get them treatment, to do all these other things. Well, what about everything else? The world doesn't stop outside of that for these families. There's still bills. There's still rent. There's still gas to try to get over there. They're still trying to support the other members of their family, too, if they have.
Heck, in the case of Blake, there's treatment that the J-Fund was able to step in and pay for.
All there.
When you hear his mom say he would not be here with us today if it were not for that, I mean, what more is important than saving the life of a kid?
Sure.
And, and that's what the efforts are for, to ease the burden on families, but when possible, to go above and beyond that. So, again, that's what today's about here, trying to get to that magic number of 30,000 by noon. Don't leave us hanging there. And we're not done when we get there. That's just one milepost along the way. 904-207-7070, 904-207-7070. Look at it this way, okay? We're not satellite radio. We don't charge you for a subscription. You can tune in and listen and get ticked off at my dumb opinions, or you can appreciate all the brilliant opinions of all the other guest hosts we have and co-hosts we have here on Jaguars today and all throughout the day. And if you appreciate any of that, your chance to vent and give you a sounding board and all those things, look at it as your subscription fee for the year, if you want to look at it that way. I don't care how you look at it.
How good would you feel to know that your money actually went to saving someone's life? Like
that's
someone
pretty,
in Jacksonville, I mean, not throughout the world, but actually here in Jacksonville.
That's exactly what your J-Fund money has done for Blake Herndon. So congrats to the J-Fund for being able to continue to provide these services, and congrats to all of you who support it, because we know we go to the well every single year, and you always outdo yourselves every single year. So we encourage you to do that again this year. One-time gift of $96, great. One-time gift of $250 is great, or $1,000, or whatever you're able to do, or challenge your coworkers to match your gift of $96, however you want to do it. We appreciate everybody that's given so far, and those that have given in the past as well, and will give at some point, whether it's this year or in the future. But do it now, if you can, 904-207-7070, and also visit tcjfund.org. You can always donate to the organization all year round, but we like to at least put the focus on it really hardcore one day a year out of the football season, with Tom Coughlin returning to town this week with the New York Giants looking for another loss on their ledger. We thought it was the appropriate week to get that done. So with that, we'll take a timeout, and we will return in a minute. Brian Coughlin, Tom's son, Kelly's brother, going to join us. He's on the J-Fund board. He'll talk to us about what the J-Fund's up to right now, and what some of the future plans may hold as well. And again, how you as individuals are impacting lives here on the First Coast. It's the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Give it up, ZZ Top. Give till it hurts if you possibly can. Not for me, man. It's for your friends, your family, your neighbors, your community here on the First Coast. It's for yourself. Make yourself feel better. I don't care why you give. Give to Shut Me Up, if that works. 904 207-7070. Looking for a one-time gift of $96 to support the Tom Coughlin J Fund. Blake Herndon and his mom, Rebecca, leaving. What a nice young man.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
What a cool story, too. I mean, how much strength he gave his,
I got this.
His mom. I got and then this. Going back in and talking to some of the young kids that are dealing with it now. And you're going to beat this. You can do this. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Think about Blake next time your wife asks you to do the dishes. All right? For goodness sakes. Hey, honey, I got this. All right? Come on.
I know.
You know, it's not that hard. Life's not that hard.
We just got an update.
We make it harder than it needs to be.
We need 9 people to hit our target of 30,000 here in the next 20
minutes. 9 people, that's like one every 2 minutes. So don't sit around waiting. Lauren Brooks is going to be one.
Bring it on.
Okay? You know what? We need 9 more on top of one. Let's make sure we're free and clear. Don't let primetime have the glory of cresting over the $30,000 mark. All right? Give it to Jaguars today. Brian Coughlin is here with us, and what a familiar name. Why does that name seem familiar to me? Of course, a member of the board for the J Fund. What did I tell you, Brian, a minute ago? I said, I hope your dad goes down in flames this week, didn't I?
You did, and I told you that I would let that slide thanks to all the good work you guys are doing here for us.
Look,
we really appreciate it.
Are you kidding me? We're thrilled to do it, and we'd be thrilled to not have to do it one day, but, you know, that's... life goes on and struggles persist, and you guys do a great job assisting families, as we've talked about. You've been around for a while. I mean, obviously you've seen the J Fund since its inception, and you got a chance to meet Jay McGillis, before he passed away. The guy who was the inspiration for this. I heard your dad on recounting the story this morning of how that impacted him and your family personally, and he vowed that if he ever had the opportunity, he would try to do something to give back to families who were in a similar situation to Jay's family. How did Jay impact your life?
Well, Mike, I've had a lot of special opportunities in my life thanks to my father's success as a football coach. And of those opportunities were just being in close proximity to people who were special and awesome at what they do. Jeff Lagerman comes to mind. I remember training camp in Stevens Point. There's been a lot of neat things, but when I was a 14 or 15-year-old kid kicking around the Boston College football program, there was a safety named Jay McGillis who looked a lot like I probably ended up looking when I was 20 years old. He was 5'10". He was an Irish kid. He played his behind off. He probably had no business playing Division I college football, but there he was playing against the University of Miami's of the world and the Syracuse's of the world. And he was one of the people that made you think to yourself, you know what? Maybe my dreams could come true. And his dreams came crashing down when he was diagnosed with cancer at a young age. And he came from a hard working blue collar family. And the people that cared about him at BC decided that something needed to be done to help that family get through everything that cancer throws at you. And so to be able to help the McGillises during the time that Jay had left before he passed has now become this. You know, everything that we do for all these families in Northeast Florida and South Georgia, we now have an arm in New York, New Jersey. And I think when it's all said and done, the accomplishments that my father has had on the football field will probably be second to the things that the J Fund has done.
I honestly don't think there's a probably to it. And I've said that for many years now. I mean, this guy is going to walk into the Hall of Fame one day as an enshrinee in Canton. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's got an impeccable coaching resume. He's got one of the highest winning percentages in NFL history. He's taken this franchise here in Jacksonville to 2 championship games. I don't know how much more of a resume you need. And all that, I think even your dad himself, while he'll appreciate the success that he's had, and, I mean, that's in many ways his life's work. I think this is his true life's work, and it's pretty amazing that he can be that accomplished at something that I think this ultimately makes the bigger impact in people's lives.
Yeah, in his ability to do it, and now that Kelly has made it her life's work, I've been able to contribute in my small ways. It's in some ways become a bit of a family business, and we're very proud of it.
What made you want to become a member of the board on the J Fund?
Well, it's the experience that I just described to you, and now as an adult with my own kids, being able to appreciate the work that's done, that beautiful and precious family you had in here last talked about the very expensive medical procedures that are provided from time to time. I remember Kelly and I on a Saturday morning jumping in the car and driving a crib to a family who had a little baby, and they didn't even have the ability to have a crib for this child. And we drove to this very humble apartment, carried it in ourselves, and put it in the place where they wanted this crib for this child. And it's everything in between. I mean, who wouldn't want to be involved in helping your fellow man in the community that you live? And this time of year makes you even more mindful of the fact that people are in need and that we should be thankful that we don't have to go through some of the things that these families do.
I know we've heard some pretty powerful stories already today. You mentioned Rebecca and Blake coming in just a few moments ago. We talked with Christy earlier in the show and her daughter Elizabeth and what they've had to deal with. And really that's what the J Fund is about, like you said, filling in the gaps for these families. For you, since you've become a member of the board, can you share just a moment or a story or two about you seeing the J Fund be there for a family?
I could share a number of stories, but I think what I'd like to highlight for you would be when you make the trips to the hospital to see the families when they are really struggling. And, for instance, at Christmas time, we'll make the rounds, give kids presents and try and lift their spirits. And the ability for them to show their appreciation to you when they're in such dire straits and such a dire situation in a hospital bed, wondering what the future holds, but you see them light up just for a moment when you walk in to try and provide nothing more than a warm shoulder, a warm hug, and maybe a toy to have their child feel special, because they are special. I try to make that trip every year. So does Kelly, makes it 100 times more often than I do. But just know that if you're able to give today, you are making a difference for people more than you would ever realize.
When we hear Christy Rezanka talk about her daughter Elizabeth and being a little fighter at the age of 2 and a half and being a stubborn kid who doesn't really know what she's been through, but she knows she's a feisty little kid. You hear Rebecca Hernan talk about her son Blake and his attitude of, don't worry, Mom, I got this. I can fight this. How important is it because you see it, Brian, the kids that are impacted by this, for them to have high spirits in fighting this, how important is, you know, your mindset, your frame of mind, your attitude in being successful going through your treatments?
I am far from an expert, but there is an expert who will tell you, and his name is Dr. Michael Joyce. He's a doctor who does everything for us. He's a Notre Dame guy, so we'll let that slide. But he will tell you that the attitude and the personality of these children can make a difference. And if you can help lift them up, and oftentimes the people that are lifting them up are their parents. So if you can remove some of the burden from their parents' shoulders by helping them pay the mortgage, by paying their gas bill so they can get to treatment, by doing all of those things so they can focus only on their child, it's a difference maker. It really is.
I would think the Coughlin family would have a special place in their heart for Notre Dame. And it was that BC win over Notre Dame in 93, Tony, that launched a lot of things, I think, for Tom and company. But I appreciate the fact that just because they're a good old Catholic school, there's still rivalry there with Brian Coughlin.
You guys are lucky BC didn't take you down last week.
Hey, lucky, pal. That's the way we play it, all right? We string it out. And by the way, thank you for 93, if I haven't met you in person for that before as a Florida State fan. Brian, in all seriousness, wrapping up, just your own words, why is it important for our listeners right now that they are able to give, or that they do give what they're able to?
Well, I can't say it enough. We are lucky to be members of this community. There's a reason why the Coughlin family remains in this community, and it's because of the generosity and the character of the people that we live amongst and work amongst. And we'd ask you to continue to show that so we can help families who are facing childhood cancer. I'm happy to play the closer role here as we reach our benchmark, and I'd ask anybody who has the ability to give to do so. And we thank you, and we certainly thank 1010XL for all that you are doing for us and the J Fund, and wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
You guys do all the real hard work. Seriously. I mean, we're happy to do, we talk about it for a couple days a year. You guys do the work 365 days a year. Very much appreciated by everybody here. And I know on the First Coast, you've got incredible support. Again, the number 904-207-7070. We're down to four. We need four.
We need four more.
We need four in the next 11 minutes. Four people to call right now to get us to $30,000. Please don't leave us hanging. 904-207-7070. J-Fund will provide, but not limited to, mortgage, rent payments, car payments, utility payments, food, medical expenses, psychosocial services. They throw parties for kids, college scholarships for survivors. There are countless ways that the J-Fund is impacting your community. You want to talk about thinking global and acting locally? This is the way to act locally and to have a direct impact on maybe even saving kids like Blake Herndon's life, because the treatment that the J-Fund was able to help finance for him, or just to ease the burden on some of these families. And again, I don't think Christy Rozenka could have put it any better. One day, your family is not impacted by this, and the next day you are. And that's how quickly it can happen. So don't think it can't happen to you. There but for the grace of God, for all of us out there. So do what you can and support the J-Fund generously at 904-207-7070. Four more by noon gets us over $30,000, and we'll be halfway there and counting to our goal today of raising $60,000. Thank you to all out there in the listening audience. I don't know if you feel like you have to put up with this once a year, if you look forward to it, whatever the case may be. We're here and happy to support what the J-Fund does. Very appreciative of the legacy that Tom Coughlin and his family have started here on the First Coast. So thank you, Brian. Appreciate
you
stopping by. Appreciate your sister, Kelly Coughlin Joyce, Christy Rozenka, and God bless her little kids, particularly little 2.5-year-old Elizabeth, Rebecca Herndon, and her son Blake. Happy birthday to Blake as well. Thanks to all of them for stopping by today. Nancy Tolman with Brumos, Jeff Logman, our usual co-host on Tuesdays.
Yeah, stuck around for about an hour and a half or so today.
We got a laundry list of people every day, don't we?
We do.
But today, today's people are a little bit more important to the big picture.
No, they are. A couple things here as we finish up and welcome in the boys of XL Primetime. I'll be back on tonight from 8 to 10, and I think they're shutting down the phones at 8 o'clock tonight. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking about it at 8 o'clock tonight with the J-Fund. So we'll continue that up until 10. Lauren, I know, is about to go back there and make her donation. I just got a text from my mom as well. So thank you, Mom and Dad.
Thanks.
They have participated as well.
Thanks. What's up with the lemon squares? I haven't seen any lemon squares
in
a few
years.
Mrs. Smith. Come on, Mrs. Smith. all right. So for all of us, for Lauren Brooks, for Fat Tony, again, for Jeff Logan, we'll be back tomorrow. Let me tell you quickly as we're out the door here, the Foundation Professionals of Florida photo contest is closing today. So if you want to get a shot in, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets tomorrow to go see the Jags and the Giants this Sunday. Go to Facebook.com/Jaguars today. The thread is pinned at the top. It's entitled Jaguars Passion. Just post a photo that you think is emblematic of Jaguars Passion, and maybe you will be the ticket holder, the ticket winner for this weekend's game. Again, thanks to all the aforementioned. Continue to give generously throughout the course of the day. 904-207-7070 for the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Radiothon, and you can always go to tcjfund.org as well. That does it for Jaguars today. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.